Tonight we're going to speak considerably about the grasshopper spirit of Egypt, the subconscious of our modern times. One of my friends wrote a letter and said it was very apt to have the Egyptians and the Polynesians speak of the low self as the grasshopper, because when you go to put your hand on it, away it goes, and it's not there. The grasshopper also provides a fluid, which is not water, which is the symbol of manna, but he spits some tobacco juice from his mouth. And because he could supply juice right on the instant when you caught him and held him tight, he was a very excellent symbol of the low self and its function as a producer of manna. Of course, it's the middle self who puts the hand over the grasshopper when it can. And tonight we're going to go to considerable pains to find out a little more of how the middle self gets the hand over the low self grasshopper and can hold it down and get it to work. As we all know, it sings its little song, soars through the air, and lands someplace else just about the time you want it to go to work for you. In the last tape lecture, I told you that we were going to study psychometric analysis, a method developed by Dr. Brunler, following the method first evolved by a French student, and that you should provide yourself as a group with a dozen or so medium-sized marbles, and to each marble should be attached a good strong thread, so that from the bottom of the marble to the place where you hold it with your thumb and forefinger, and that is where you tie a knot to show the spot, the measurement should be about 4.5 inches. I have not had reports as yet from any of the classes except one, and in that report they neglected to say that they had tried the marbles at all, but they had been using the pendulum for some time in the form of a little medal, a peace medal, which each of these members of this older group wears around the neck on a little chain. And it was discovered some time ago that those little peace medals were just about the right weight and did a very fine job of acting as a pendulum. Where they got them, I have not yet learned. I asked one other group if they could find out where the people who sell pure foods get their pendulums. And a search was made, and it was found that the supply house which supplied those pendulums was out of business. So it's the marbles or nothing at the present time, although a good heavy metal button or a heavy ring or almost anything suspended on a thread, even a rubber band, will serve as a start. In my book, Psychometric Analysis, which each class should have in order to go ahead with me, and which I will supply to you if the class does not have one and will apply. In that book is described the method of making pendulums. One nice way is to get a heavy spool of thread out of the thread basket and take a grinding, an electric grinder, and grind the spool into the form of a top. Then put a metal, or rather a wooden stick, through the center of it to leave a point at the bottom and a handle at the top. To the handle can be attached the thread. You can knot it in or put in a little screw eye. But with that weighing about as much as a half dollar, it will make a good pendulum. I want to warn you, however, not to lose your marbles. And as these tapes are played in England and Australia, I must explain that that is an American slang that has just been going around. And to lose your marbles is to lose your sanity, more or less, become a little infatuated with some idea. So don't lose your marbles. I'm going to let that rest for a while, and later on we'll have our pendulums, we'll have our books, and then you can take a pendulum and use the Chevreul's pendulum, if you wish, as a test. With that, you take your pendulum and a pencil or a short ruler, and you tie the thread to the pencil or to the end of the ruler, and then you take a sheet of paper and draw a circle and make a cross through it. There's an illustration of this in my book, Psychometric Analysis. And then in this test, you take the pencil or the ruler in both hands and hold it so that the pendulum will swing freely over this circle that you've drawn with pencil or with ink. And it is supposed that the subconscious will respond to self-suggestion, auto-suggestion, and will make the pendulum follow the lines. As a matter of fact, if you expect the pendulum to follow the lines, swinging on one and then on the other, and if you say, please swing to the cross line and then along it, or to the vertical line, or follow the circle, the low self is very obliging, and it is very smart, as we will learn later on. And if it is going to play the game with you and use the pendulum and be a good sport, it will make the pendulum on the end of the stick follow the lines. Later on, or almost immediately, you will graduate from the pendulum held with both hands on the end of a fishing pole like that, and you'll hold your pencil with your pendulum with a shorter thread. The 4.5-inch length is the good one, because it swings to the count of 1, 2, 3, 4, whereas an 8-inch one swings very slowly, like a longer clock pendulum, and swings about 1, 2, 3, and you're going to use your pendulum to count off the degrees of intelligence, the biometric degrees. Not the intelligence alone, but the evolvement. You're going to measure the low, middle, and high selves on an average. And if you're going to count off to find out exactly what that is in terms of distance, a fast pendulum, which just matches the count of 1, 2, 3, is excellent. If the pendulum moves too rapidly with too short a string, it goes faster than you can count. And if it's too long, why, it's lazy and slow. My low self likes the 4.5-inch length from the knot to the tip of the pendulum, and I think yours will also. In testing, if you find that your low self will not use the pendulum that you give it at first, raid the trinket box and see if you can find something that the low self likes. In my experience, the low self sometimes likes something to use for a pendulum, sometimes something else, and dislikes certain things. Certain ones seem to like a ring, some like a medal. One case, a woman had a little china elephant that she loved and the low self loved, and when it was put on the thread, at last she could use the pendulum, and away it went, swinging merrily along the lines. And now the question comes up of what we're going to measure. And this reminds me a little of the story of the Negro preacher in the Deep South who preached the sermon on the devil. And he said, my text tonight is about the devil who goes raging through the world, seeking whom he may devour. Now tonight we want to examine who was this devil, what was he hunting for, and why was he raging. So we are going to see what it is that the low self measures for us with the biometric system, which we call psychometric analysis, because it is the one that does all the measuring. All that we do is to stand by and let it talk to us through the pendulum and tell us what it finds out about the persons whom we are reading. We read from a photograph, from a signature done with ink, or directly from the tip of the right-hand thumb of the person being read. If it's a left-handed person, then you read from the tip of the left-hand thumb. The thing usually measured is the lesser man, his middle self and low self. But after quite a number of years, we finally discovered that we also, with considerable more difficulty and going to considerable more effort, can read the high self of most people. Some people seem to be so cut off from the high self that you can't read their high self and find out where it stands from an evolutionary standpoint. But the readings of the middle self and the low self of a person are very significant. Those three selves in their combination are like the three tumblers in a safe combination of lock. The three make several different combinations. For instance, if you have a low self that changes place in the man, in split personality or dual personality, then you may have two low selves and one middle self. So that adds to the combination, and your safe will not open unless you have exactly the right turn for two low selves. Or you may have a person like a spiritualistic medium who changes place with a spirit who brings its own low and its own middle self and takes charge of the body during a seance and talks through the medium. That gives you four working units. Then you may have an obsession in which there are one or two spirits who take over partially. That is the multiple personality. The split personality may be multiple, several entities that live in the body and take part and help to control it. Or it may be just the dual personality in which there are two. The great value of the psychometric analysis reading, and the reason that I am stressing it and trying to get the classes started early on it, is that it tells us about ourselves. It tells us a great deal about our neighbors, and if we are going to help others, it tells us whether we can work with them freely, whether they are in touch with their own high selves, or whether we are fighting in them some spirit that has partly obsessed them. In medicine, obsession is a term used constantly in the mental hospitals, but the doctors deny that it is spirit obsession. They use the old term, and they go ahead and handle the cases very much as if it were believed in as spirit obsession, but they refuse in print to admit that there can be such a thing. In the New Testament and going away, way back, even to early Egypt, the obsession by spirits, middle selves or low selves, or both middle and low self, combination obsessing spirits, those were known as devils. And in Egypt, they thought that they came in out of the desert and obsessed the living, leaving some of them completely obsessed and insane, so that you had to watch when you were out in the desert. There were certain things that were very important in their very primitive magic of those days. But the kahunas knew a great deal about it and were able to describe five kinds of selves in this set of a combination of selves. There were first the ordinary low self, the ordinary middle self, and the high self. Then there was the low self that changed places with another in the body, and it became an obsessing low self, and the same thing applied to the middle self. If the middle self changed places with another, that gave us five different combinations that had to be considered. Spirits come and go in the body. Some obsessions are permanent. In the mental hospitals, we have these things that the doctors fight with shock treatments. They try to drive out the obsessing spirit that they will not admit is a spirit and that they say is not there, but they use a similar method to that used in the old days. In the old days, they tortured the insane. They stoned them to drive out the evil spirits. They exorcised them. Jesus cast out spirits with an effort of the will and the aid of the high self. These castings out or exorcisms were a part of the standard religion all down through the Dark Ages. And even today we have a small amount of exorcism being done, especially in the Catholic Church, but now being taken up in the various Protestant branches. I want to give you an example of a case in my own experience. I had a very good friend, she was a good friend of the family, who did a very peculiar thing. Every 2 or 3 weeks, she changed personality slightly. At the times that she was herself, as we called it, she was a delightful friend, a boon companion, and we all loved her, and she was so kind, she was so good. She very carefully observed the rule of non-hurt. Then you might not see her for a week or two, and the next time you saw her, she had changed personality. Her middle self had changed. She was inimical. She didn't like you. She was inclined to criticize and was mean. And before you'd been with her more than a half an hour, you were very glad to think about sending her home if you could. It was one of those switches which bothered and bothered, and it upset her marriage and caused endless trouble. At the time that we first knew this friend, we didn't know what the trouble was. We just took it for granted that she wasn't the kind that was stable, that she was changeable. But later on, when we learned the psychometric analysis reading, and I made a reading of her, I found that she had a low self which was permanent. It stayed where it was. It was a good low self. But her middle self had an obsessing spirit, and it would come in and take over. Now, spirits do this by the use of hypnosis. We call it power hypnosis. They don't call it anything. It's simply there's powerful will. And spirits learn in some way, I don't know just how, to take control of the living, especially if the living are of a like mind. For instance, an evil spirit who finds a person who is naturally evil has it very much easier when it comes to taking over control and bossing them, making them obey its will and follow its suggestions. And here's an important point, because in listening to me, some of the timid fellows may be on the side of being a little bit frightened. If you keep a firm hold of the thumb of the father and the little finger of the mother and walk between them in doing the hurtless life, you are very safe from any evil being trying to take possession. All of these spirits are slightly evil that take possession of you and obsess you. And if you are good and you do not respond, and if they try to give you an inner urge to be mean or nasty or hurtful, and you refuse steadfastly to follow that, and you say to yourself, well, I don't know what's the matter with me, but I certainly will not do that, then they get discouraged and they go away. They leave you alone. So if you hold fast to your own high self and stand firmly in the light, there is no danger. Before leaving that, I want to say this. Many people buy Ouija boards and planchettes. They're advertised in the magazines as being something that can be used by almost anyone, and that from them you can ask questions about your future, you can learn what the stocks will do on the market, you can find out what horse to bet on, and things like that. Some very wild promises made by the commercial makers and sellers of these instruments. People who have a biometric reading in what we call the mediumistic range, which is around 350 degrees, are sensitive. We call them sensitives. They're psychically sensitive, and they are more easily influenced by spirits than people of the earlier degrees, say around 340, or after you get past the 353 degrees. Later on, you'll know more about that. But I advise very strongly against trying to do fortune telling or to use the Ouija board. If you sit down and blank your mind and offer the use of your hands, and that is the use of your mana as well, to make the board move, the board on the Ouija or the pencil board on the planchette, you are opening your house and inviting anybody in. You don't know the spirits, you can't see them, you don't know who's around, and some evil wandering spirit comes along and says, ah, here's an invitation, I'll go in and take over. So they come in and take over your hand. And they may take over a hand, then an arm, and finally take you over. I had a frantic letter the other day from a young man who, with his sweetheart, had been working with the Ouija board, and she happened to be in this sensitive range. And they got a hold of a spirit, and they said, what is your name? And it identified itself as Satan. So you know that it wasn't a spirit that intended good. It wanted to frighten them, and it very possibly was a very evil one who had been wandering around. And suddenly the girl went into a trance, and she was held for some time. And when she came out of it, why, they were both very badly frightened. They wrote to me and asked what should be done, and I said, leave the Ouija board alone by all means. Refuse to respond to any urge to ask questions. Stop thinking about the person and pray hard. Keep close touch with God, if that's whom you pray to, or your high self, but let the Ouija board alone. Once in a great while, someone will use the pendulum for fortune telling. The low self is not able to see into the future. The high self is, to a certain extent, but it very seldom will divulge through the low self what the future holds when you ask the question. It takes quite a little work and preparation to get the high self to give you a little guidance in which a knowledge of the future is involved. The low self is not intended to be a fortune teller, and sometimes if you keep pressing it to tell this and that and the other that it can't find the answer for, it may turn to some visiting spirit, and between the two of them they may hatch up some very strange answers to the question and get too friendly. So watch that. There isn't very much danger in the use of the pendulum if you do it right and if your heart is pure, and if you remain hurtless. But if you ask questions, if you are greedy, or if you are asking something that might be hurtful to somebody else, watch your step. It is not too good a thing to use any instrument which the low self is using as a matter of communication, a crutch to get between you and the low self. Could be called the pendulum, the Ouija board, the planchette, any of those things. Be careful. Those are for special purposes and are best let alone for a beginner. When you get to the place where you are able to make a good psychometric analysis reading, or when three in your class make a good enough reading so that you average about the same answers for each reading, you will begin to work with the pictures of people in the news, with political candidates and with people who are famous and people who are not so famous. And you'll find also that you can begin to read the pictures of criminals. And the big question with a criminal is, was he obsessed when he did the murderous deed? Or was he just naturally mean? Was he just naturally counterclockwise, as the pendulum will run on his signature or on his picture? When Dr. Brunner was inventing the system of readings for the barometer, he tried many different classes of people to find out what type of readings the pendulum would give for them. And when he came to the prisoners and began to check the prisoners and the jailbirds and so on, he found that almost all of the hardened criminals had a counterclockwise circle. That was what the low self would do. It would take up the pendulum and run it in a counterclockwise circle. If somebody had been railroaded and put in the prison who was innocent, it would run clockwise, the other direction in a circle, and would show that they were naturally good. A great many criminals are victims of partial obsession. That is, they may be perfectly normal for some time, and suddenly there will be a spirit take over and obsess them. And in those times, they may have a fit of rage, they may change personality, so that when they have done their murderous deed, they claim that they can't remember anything about it. And that, we always think, is an excuse. But it isn't an excuse in many cases where some spirit has suddenly seized them, taken over a temporary obsession, and where they have been under the spirit's complete influence. Other times the spirits simply nudge them, and because they're naturally evil and counterclockwise, they like the spirit's evil promptings, and together, like bad boys, they go out and rob a bank or do a hold-up or all of the things that are common to criminal life. It's of great value to the individual if he is doing business with various types of people to be able to get a psychometric analysis reading of someone with whom he might want to go into partnership or upon whom he will have to depend in the matter of their honesty and integrity. The other day, a man sent me a signature and said, I am about to go into business with this man as a partner, and I would like to have you make a psychometric analysis reading for me. He has some very fine oil leases and wants me to help to finance the drilling of the wells on them. I took up my pendulum and worked over the signature, and it immediately went counterclockwise. Then it made the special movement, which we will discuss later on, which I call the Y movement or the Trident movement, showing that this man was obsessed. He had an evil spirit, and he was naturally evil. And his degree was low. I tested for the spirit and asked for its degree, and the spirit was smarter than the man. It had a higher degree reading, so it could lead the man around by the nose. The man himself was not very bright, otherwise he would have done better with his life. I wrote to my friend immediately and I said, by all means, stay away from that man and any proposition that he makes, and investigate him, find out about him, find out who he has been in business with before. About 2 weeks later, I had a letter from my friend, and he said, I did investigate, which I should have done in the first place, but he seemed so very honest and so very frank, and his proposition sounded so very good, that I hadn't investigated. But when I did, I found that he was a first-class crook, that he had beaten out one person after another, and had them put their money into all kinds of schemes, and they never got a thing out. When the groups get to the place where they will begin to make the psychometric readings nicely, they will find that they are almost forced into being a marriage bureau. I had a case not too long ago in which a young lady was planning to get married, and sent me the signature for a biometric reading of the proposed husband. And I found, much to my distress, that he was slightly obsessed. He had the Y pattern. And so I wrote to her and told her that it would be a very big gamble, that I would advise her to watch to see if he changed personalities slightly or did things erratically. And so she watched and was forewarned and sidestepped that trap. A great many of us can be very helpful if we can make the readings and advise. Nothing is quite so needful, perhaps, as to match up the bride and the bridegroom while there is still time, and to see to it that a normal person doesn't get married to one with a very bad difficulty, a criminal or someone that has the bad characteristics that go with difficulty. So keep that in mind, and perhaps you won't put out a sign, Marriage Bureau, but you will be able to offer suggestions and help frequently when the time comes and it is necessary. In your own work and in helping your friends, you can see whether the boy is normal, whether the girl is normal in weddings and in proposals of marriage and all of those things. And in checking as an addition to the IQ of a child or a grown person for their work at school or in college or wherever the IQ would be of importance, the degree standing, while it's not IQ, it's something quite different, I consider it much more important and safer than the plain IQ. A person with a splendid memory will show a very high IQ, but maybe they will lack in the power to reason. And those things should be compared as an IQ with the PA reading. If I had 12 children, I would have them all given a PA reading from the time they were about a year old, and then each one would be given the opportunities as near as possible to fit the ability which is shown by the reading. In passing, I wish to speak of the fact that we must always remember that the low self is the one that has the memories in its charge. It does all the remembering. The middle self is the one that has the superior grade of reason. It can reason inductively instead of deductively. And the two match and make a lower team. And the high self gives the intuitions. So the three self team, of course, is the perfect team. But whenever there is obsession, where there is a change of low selves, you can always tell that if you remember this. If a low self changes completely, the memories will change. You will have amnesia. The person will forget everything that happened to them earlier than that, and if the spirit comes back, they will recover their memories. If the spirit is a middle self and it changes places, the memories are still held in the low self. The low self stays right with the body, and it shows no change. But a new middle self takes over in the house and is the new boss, and it changes personality. Personality is a little difficult to describe. Some people have a very fine personality. They are honest and happy and jovial and helpful, while others are nasty and mean and petty and jealous and little. Those things belong to the middle self. The emotions belong to the low self, so you can't say so much about that. But just the natural personality of a person, the middle self, may change And you think, well, they're very changeable. What's the matter with that person? They aren't like they were, and so on. Well, they may have changed middle selves. There was a famous case studied a number of years ago of a man named Ansel Adams. And he changed low selves, and his memories all changed. He suddenly woke up one day, not remembering who he was, but seeming to know that he was somebody. And he was in a strange place, but it didn't seem too strange to him, but nobody recognized him. It was a little country place, and he looked around, and not being able to remember just where he had come from, he got himself a job, and little by little he remembered that his name had been something else, and that he had lived in quite a distant place. He lived there and worked in the store and was quite happy for some time. Then one day his low self changed again, and he suddenly remembered that he was Ansel Adams and that he lived in New England. He remembered all of his past life, so everything was strange to him. He didn't recognize the store that he was working in. He had lost all memory of what he had done during the time that he had been a victim of amnesia. But he got himself in hand and started out and went back to New England, and sure enough, there he was Ansel Adams, and he was back in his own hometown with all of his friends. The case was very well studied and very well certified a number of years ago. Sometimes there's a change for the better when a middle self steps out and a new middle self comes in. There was a case in 1860, which is reported in an old copy of Harper's Magazine. A girl whose name was Mary Reynolds, she was a normal girl of 18, I'm reading now, was subject to fits for a year, and then, while reading in a meadow one day, she became unconscious. She awoke blind and deaf. This affliction lasted for 3 months. One morning, she could not be awakened. Some hours later, she awoke of her own accord, and to all accounts seemed to be like a newborn baby. She could, however, repeat a few words. Those few words make us know that there was a low self still there functioning, although there were other entities that had come in. Learning with great rapidity, the baby, in quotes, began to grow mentally and to use the adult brain. In a few weeks, the primary personality, that's the original one, came back, and the secondary, that is the obsessing one, disappeared. This alternation continued for years, the baby personality growing up in the process, and neither personality, when dominant, had any knowledge or memory of what the other had done while in possession of the body and of the brain. I had spoken of a benefit coming from a change. That wasn't the case. The case that I'm thinking of was the case of a girl who had, when the obsessing spirit took over, it was the normal, when the normal spirit was in charge, let me say. She was a dull girl and inclined to be naughty, wouldn't study, and was a very bad character. But a spirit came along that took her over, and during the time that the spirit had taken her over, a spirit middle self, her memories were unchanged. She was bright and intelligent and good. And that went on with a periodic taking over by this good spirit, and finally the good spirit took over and kept the girl entirely, so that she became permanently good and intelligent. So that was helpful. But it's a rather difficult way to get help. In the New Testament, Jesus cast out spirits and then spoke of having the house left all swept and garnished, and that unless it was properly filled, a host of spirits came, found the empty house, and moved in. That was one of the earliest accounts we have of multiple personality. Dr. Morton Prince, in a very famous case called the Beauchamp case, studied a young lady who at the age of 18 began to change personalities. This change, I'm reading again, continued for years, five personalities being identified in all, each considering itself a separate individual, and the mutual memories became a tangle. The childhood of the girl B, they gave them letters, was one marked by emotional stress and nervousness. Matured, she became a nurse and received an emotional shock in a course of a love affair. Suddenly, all her peculiarities became exaggerated and she became ultra-religious. The memory remained unimpaired, but there was a distinct change in characteristics. This change lasted some 6 years, and during that time, another personality named Sally came and showed her presence only during sleep. At night, this Sally talked through the body and took it on sleepwalking excursions. At the end of the six-year period, there came another emotional shock, and a personality called B4 became dominant. This B4 could remember all of the events of the life of the original B, but not those of the life of the next personality, B1. In the following year, B1 and B4 alternated with reciprocal amnesia, that is, one of them could remember and the other could not. Both remembered all that B had done, but knew nothing of the doings of each other. B1 was sickly and mild. B4 was more healthy and far more aggressive. Both were very emotional. Dr. Prince used hypnosis on the patient, and under the hypnotic influence, another personality was brought to light. It conversed freely under hypnosis. However, this very interesting personality puzzled the investigator. He was inclined to think she was the original B, restored to normal condition, but much improved. She resembled both B1 and B4 to some extent, seeming to be a mixture of them and of herself. She is described as a person of even temperament, frank and open in address, one who seemed to be natural and simple in her mode of thought and manner. She had all of the memories. B, B1, B4 continued to alternate, B now commanding the memories of B1 and B4. During this time, B1 and B4 seemed at times to partake of the emotional characteristics of each other, a trading back and forth. After some years, the original B became dominant and grew healthy and normal. I have been reading out of my book, The Secret Science Behind Miracles, on page 106, and I won't go any further into that because at a short reading like this, it amounts to nothing but confusion. But what I wish to say is that a person can have a multiple number of spirits coming in and out, low cells, middle cells, some being in the body two at a time and having to be brought out one of them with hypnosis, like the Sally character. So we become the garnished house that is not properly filled and invite the evil spirits to come in and partially obsess us when we get too far from the high self, from the light, or when there are emotional shocks. Those emotional shocks we find sometimes today causing the personalities to begin to make changes. Drunkenness is often caused by spirit obsession. I had a friend once who was a blacksmith. I was an assayer in a mine as a young man. And our blacksmith, Tom, was a very jovial, very fine fellow. We all loved him. But on payday, he always got drunk and forgot which man he was, lost his memories. I went with him one time on payday, going over to the saloon at the next little village, and watched him to see how soon his memories were lost. When he got to the hitching post, we were riding horses. He hitched his horse, and after he had sobered up several days later, I asked him, "What's the last thing you can remember, Tom, before your memories were lost and changed?" He said, "The hitching my horse to the, tying the reins," he said, "to the hitching post." He said, "That's the last thing I can remember." So we know from cases like that that the drunkenness is caused more or less by obsession.